Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make disciples of all the nations, Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep everything I have entrusted to you. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, a Sunday devoted to the mystery of the divine, the mystery of the Godhead, a mystery that must be revealed in the Word and by the Word made flesh. A mystery that cannot be known by our own reason or senses, no matter how smart we may think we are. And let's be honest here, if we were going to invent a God and a religion, we would not start with a paradox that God is three and yet one, that he is three persons yet one essence. It simply does not make sense. Or as the writer-apologist Dorothy Sayers once put it so well, the Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, the Holy Spirit incomprehensible, the whole darn thing incomprehensible. And that's how it should be. Not that's what comprehensible means. Comprehensible means it cannot be contained. But any God that cannot be contained, that can be contained inside your own head, is not God. This is the Catholic faith, not simply the Christian faith, the Catholic faith, the universal consensus of Christians from the beginning, from the teaching of the apostles. This is the faith confessed by all who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the faith confessed by all who are instructed by the Holy Spirit who works through the word. And it is Catholic even before there was ever such a thing as a Roman Catholic Church. In fact, the adjective Roman betrays the word Catholic. Catholic means universal, and that means by definition, Rome does not own it. In fact, the creed we just confessed, named after Athanasius, though not written by him, predates any notion of a Roman Catholic Church by over 1,000 years. And I would be willing to say that this third and most comprehensive of the great creeds is scarcely known or even confessed in the Roman Church. So yes, you can be a Catholic Christian and hold the Catholic faith without being Roman Catholic. Lutheran works quite nicely for this, confessing with the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church without any additions or accretions to the faith, which came later. I appreciate the fact that the Athanasian Creed does not belong to some council, as though doctrine were determined by politics and majority vote. Nor does it belong to any person. It was written anonymously. Nobody knows quite where it came from. It just appeared in the 4th century. It appeared as a test for the orthodoxy of the clergy, the teachers of the church, because the confession of the church is handed on and taught by the church's teachers, and so they have to be tested. And the Athanasian Creed was a test for them. It just appears, 4th century, in all of its glory, confessing over 400 years of theological reflection and often intense debate and argument over what it means that God is both one and three at the same time. How can Jesus and the Father be one, as Jesus says, and yet Jesus prays to the Father? And yet Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And yet the psalm says, the Lord said to my Lord. How can these things be? How can the Son send the Spirit from the Father, and yet there is only one God? Even in the creation narrative in Genesis, the very first verses of the scriptures, we are introduced to the mystery of the triunity of God. There is God, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God, all present and active in the creation. And it's even hinted at the way God talks to himself. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. It's there in that triad of Yahweh, the Spirit of Yahweh, the Ruach Yahweh, and the angel, the Malach, the messenger of Yahweh in the Old Testament, all of whom are distinct and yet all of whom are Yahweh and worshiped as such. But nowhere is the mystery of the Trinity expressed so plainly and so clearly for our ears to hear and our tongues to confess than it is in the baptismal formula and mandate of our Lord, who said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." One name, not three names. One Yahweh, one Lord. And yet three persons, distinct but not divided, co-equal yet ordered, the Son begotten of the Father, the Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son, internally distinguished, externally undivided, so that where the Son is, there the Father is, and there the Holy Spirit. And I think it's significant, it's noteworthy, that the mystery of God's triunity is most clearly taught where Jesus commands baptism, since it is in baptism that we learn the triune God, who he is, and what he does for us. And just as the Trinity was fully present and active in Jesus' baptism, the Father speaking as a voice from heaven, the Spirit descending as a dove, and the Son in the water in solidarity with sinners being baptized, so the same triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is active and present in your baptism. In holy baptism, you are given the name of God. You are baptized into the name of God, and to have his name is to have him as your God and to have you as his child. To our modern attention deficit ears, the Athanasian Creed seems unnecessarily long, ponderous, repetitive, overcooked, like all so many of those two-page hymns in our hymnal. And that's because our modern confession is sloppy, lazy, subjective, sentimental, individualized, egocentric. We will not be told what to believe. We want to be special, every one of us, just like everyone else is special. We want to have God our way, like our hamburgers, and we want to fashion God in our own image and our likeness. We want our religion to be the way we want it, and if we can't find it here, we'll go somewhere else. But this creed somehow stands in the way like a big rock, and it says, "Whoever wishes to be saved shall confess this Catholic faith." Christianity is not a roll-your-own religion. We are reminded here of the antiquity of our faith. This is really old stuff. This creed is the new kid in town, 5th century. The Nicene Creed we usually confess, which comes from the councils of Nicaea and Constantinople, are from the late 4th century. And the Apostles' Creed, into which we are baptized and catechized, is from the middle of the 2nd century. The Catholic faith is not something you make up on the fly. It's not something composed on Saturday night to say on some Sunday morning. It's not something slapped up on a PowerPoint presentation and erased on Monday. There is nothing new in Christianity. There never has been. If there's anything new that's discovered, it is de facto false. The only thing new in Christianity are the newly baptized. New ears to hear. New mouths to confess the Catholic faith along with us. The Catholic faith is a tradition handed down to us from one generation of believer to the next, from one believer to the next. from the church in its ongoing mission to disciple all the nations by baptizing into the name and teaching the apostolic faith. This is how the Catholic faith is handed on, and this is how it came to us, to each of us, discipling, that is, baptizing and teaching. There is no such thing as contemporary Christianity. There is no such thing as emergent Christianity. There is no such thing as postmodern Christianity or any other adjective that you can stick in front of Christianity except for the word Catholic. There is only one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, which except everyone keeps whole and undefiled without doubt will perish eternally. I like the sound of that. Not the perish eternally part, the one holy Catholic and apostolic. You know, we're reminded today here that Christianity is confessional, and that Christians are called to stand up and to confess with their mouths what the Spirit has implanted by the Word in their hearts. There is no room in the Catholic faith for such silly notions as deeds, not creeds, as you sometimes hear, or the Bible unites but doctrine divides, which is a doctrine. The minute you utter a word that summarizes what the Bible teaches, you are doing doctrine, and you are confessing a creed. Everyone who believes anything has a creed. The only question is, which one is it? Is it a creed that you made up, or is it the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith? Deeds, not creeds. That is a creed. Deeds, not creeds. And the first deed that flows from faith is to confess the faith that one holds, a creed. Doctrine doesn't divide. Falsehood divides, unbelief divides, rejection of God's word, of truth divides. Doctrine is that work of love that loves God, not only with the heart and with the soul, but also with the mind. It is an act of worship, doxology, and it is a work of love for the neighbor. Doctrine is a work of love for the neighbor so that we ensure that we speak the truth of God to our neighbor in love. In other words, it's precisely because the Christians of the past loved God and loved their neighbor and loved us that they hammered out these creeds and they confessed them at great risk to their livelihoods and their lives. Some object that the words Trinity and Triune are not found in the Bible, and therefore they're not biblical. Well, I'll add another one. The word incarnation is not in the Bible either, nor is sacrament. It's a common trick promoted by groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses, who love to leave their tracts at our front door because our church is named Holy Trinity. I have a huge collection of their tracts. Trinity and Triune are not in the Bible. That's big news to us, isn't it? Neither is the name Jehovah in the Bible, except in the King James mistranslation. Actually, one might argue that since we're quoting the Bible in English translation, none of the words that we use are actually in the Bible. They are translational equivalents and approximations of what the Holy Spirit caused to be written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. In other words, we are trying to say what the Bible says by our creeds, our confessions, our translations, and our hymns. What words would you use to describe three persons who remain but one being? If we're talking about a person, I suppose we would call that some psychiatric condition where I am one being and I claim to be three persons. So you lock me up. I think we'd do the same to God if he appeared in his Trinity. What analogies? I have to warn you about analogies. The minute you say them, they're going to be wrong. I've heard a few. Water, steam, ice. Nope, doesn't work. Father, husband, son, three hats. Nah, that doesn't work either. Augustine, lover, beloved, love. For the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Nice try, St. Augustine, but that doesn't work either. The fact is, there is no analogy for God because there is nothing like God. That's what makes God God. How are you going to image God with an analogy? You can't. Whatever you say, you're going to make up a word, a term that tries to hold everything together like these two seemingly contradictory things. Think of it like juggling. You got to hold up three balls, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You can't favor one, and you got to keep them all in motion at the same time and treat them as the unity they are, a trinity of persons, but an undivided unity in essence. And the best way that we found to do that is to invent a nonsense word, triune, three-one, three-in-one. Nonsense? Yeah, that's right, nonsense. But where does it say in the Bible that God has to make sense to us? He's the creator. We're his creatures. He runs the show. So what's the point? These days, everything has to have a point, I understand. A life application, a lesson, as though Christianity were some little school where you learn things about God. And the beautiful thing about a day like today, there's no point. There's no application. There's no beautiful, useful life lesson to be learned today. All there is God revealing himself to be God to us, the God who created us, the God who redeemed us, the God who sanctifies us by forgiving us, the God who puts up with us for no good reason but his Son Jesus, the God who works through the Word, the God who is the Word, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into whose name we graciously, by his undeserved kindness, have been baptized and caught up in the divine love and family of God. How's that? There is no lesson but that. And if there's one thing to be learned from this Sunday of the Holy Trinity, is that God is not some means to an end. Whether the improvement of self, or the success of my business, or the betterment of society, or what other use you might have for God, God is not a tool in the toolbox. He's God. He is the end of all things, as well as the beginning and the middle. The end of all things, the goal of our salvation, the reason the Son came to die on a cross and rise from the dead, is that we might live in the life and the love of the triune God forever. It may seem all quite confusing as you ponder this creed with all its implications. Take it home and read it again today. It's Holy Trinity Sunday. Can't quite get enough of that Athanasian Creed. You may leave here scratching your heads going, huh? But in the end, our confession is not by our reason, not by our senses, not by our education, not by our ability to put three and one together. Our confession is a gift of grace, of undeserved kindness on the part of God solely for the Son's sake. We are undeservedly given to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to confess them in the fullness of their triunity. We are undeservedly given to worship the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity. We are undeservedly given to confess the Catholic faith, the faith of the apostles, the faith which the Holy Spirit alone works through the Word alone. We are undeservedly given not to understand it or to comprehend it, but to confess it and to believe it faithfully and firmly to our life's end. This is a gift of God himself by his undeserved kindness. But don't try to understand it. Don't try to peer into the hidden mysteries of God. Luther taught, never mess with the hidden God. You're bound to be disappointed. You won't find him, and he won't want to deal with you that way. Look for God in the manger and on the cross, in baptism, in the supper, in the voice of absolution, in the pastoral office, in the word of Scripture. Look to God revealed in his Son, Jesus. Jesus, who of all the persons alone touches us with respect to our humanity. And it is through Jesus and through him alone that we come to the Father and we receive the Spirit who gives us all things. This is the Catholic faith. the faith we confess, the faith that has been handed down to us, the faith that we have learned from the scriptures, the faith once delivered to the saints. This is the Catholic faith. This is our faith. Glory be to the Father. Glory be to the Son. Glory be to the Holy Spirit. Glory to the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Glory and praise and blessing and honor now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.